All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, we have quite the exciting fight going at BKFC Fight Night Jackson, and a very intriguing heavyweight affair for sure, one I was fired up to see. It goes down on January 29th. We've got Alan Belcher and Bobo O'Bannon getting ready to knuckle up and toe the line, and happy to welcome Bobo back on the show. How are you feeling with this big fight coming up here, man? I imagine pretty good.
Oh, yes, sir, definitely, man. I'm super excited about it. Happy to have the opportunity, and I'm excited to see what the odds are on this fight. Excited to see how heavy of an underdog I am.
That's curious you say that, because I feel like you've been positioned as the underdog in a few different fights, but, your only BKFC losses are to people who've either contended for the heavyweight title or outright won the belt. You got back-to-back TKOs now. Why do you think you're so consistently in that underdog role? Because it seems like you're pretty demonstrably successful, from what I can tell.
Man, yeah, I'm really not sure, to be honest with you. My whole life, I've always been the underdog in everything I've ever done. Baseball, football, track and field, everything. So I'm used to it, and I kind of do best whenever I'm the underdog. When people start expecting me to do good, and oh, you got this, no problem. Yeah, then I get a little more nervous and start thinking about the things that I shouldn't be thinking about. To have my mind in the right place. But I'm glad to be the underdog. I'm glad to have the opportunity for this fight. I'm glad to, I'm curious to see what happens too. In my mind, I'm winning this fight. In my mind, there's no way I lose this fight. But, every fighter should be that way. And I'm curious to see after the fight, in the locker room, what's going on, what the results are, and how I'm feeling there.
Yeah, so you've noticed this throughout your career, just that threat of when you're in the underdog position, you tend to perform well, but when maybe people are looking at you as the guy who's going to steamroll the guy, maybe you overthink certain things. Were there performances earlier on in your career where you were kind of favored and that was the surrounding perception and it maybe threw you off a bit, where you learned from it later on?
Yeah, early in my career, I got my start in fighting through the tough man contest, a tough man style contest in Mobile at the fairgrounds of Mobile. And I went in, and my first four or five times entering, I'd always knock out the first guy, and the second guy would have some experience and just beat the tar out of me. And so then I got to where I was training full time. I got my head right and everything, and I just went in 2007 and walked through all the tough man contests at the fairgrounds out there, then went to the Hard Rock in Biloxi and walked through it. But I finally got okay with being the one that everybody expected to win, and was doing good. Then went through my pro boxing career, was the one that everybody expected to win, and was doing good with that. And then after I took that time off, I guess I reverted back to my younger days of never being the one that anybody expects to win. And whenever they did start expecting me to win, I felt like, oh no, this is too much pressure. They expect for me to win. I want them to think I can't win. That way I'll surprise them whenever I do. If they expect you to lose and you win, then that's a huge surprise in a very good way. But if they expect you to win and you lose, then that's a huge surprise in a very bad way.
Yeah.
And I feel as if I've done that twice already. And but now I feel like I've got myself right where I want to be, backed into a corner of, and right now is a very pivotal moment for me. I'm either going to continue excelling and take over this game, or I'm going to crap the bed again, and it'll be the beginning of my decline.
So has BKFC communicated certain stakes to this fight at all? Because from the language you're using, I guess, the inference I'm making at least is maybe this is a title eliminator fight. Is that a fair you know, breakdown of what's going on? Has the promotion expressly communicated that this Belcher fight is a title eliminator, or not so much?
Oh no. They have been shook. You know, anybody else, nobody else has said anything at all, you know, for or against, or it's not even a conversation that's came up. It has not happened. What you're hearing is what I tell everybody. I am my worst critic. And so what you're hearing, the words that you're hearing come from me, is not something where I've had a conversation with somebody that led to it. No, it's just me thinking about myself and my assessment of myself and the way I really feel about how I have done and, you know, crap in the bed on a couple of fights. And yeah, that's the way I truly feel that it should be for me. Man, I am my worst critic. And I tell everybody that all the time. I'm very bluntly truthful with myself about myself. And, don't worry about it. I'm saying it. I say the things to me that other people are thinking, but Bobo's a nice guy. I don't really want to say that to him. You don't worry about it. I'm saying it already.
Yeah, okay.
To reiterate, to answer your question, no, nothing from nobody, nowhere, anything about any title, eliminator, or guaranteed shot, or nothing like that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like I deserve it. That's just me. Now, there's a bunch of fans, fight fans, my fans, people that don't like me, that feel like if, you know, after I beat Belcher, that I should get a title shot. And maybe not. I don't know. I mean, obviously I'm not going to turn it down if they give it to me. That'd be stupid, you know. But, you know, if they give it to me, yeah, heck yeah, I'll take it. I'll go beat somebody else up. But, you know, from my whole thing is from here forward, I've got a chip on my shoulder with myself over my lack of performance in a couple of fights. And, I knew going into the fight I was not mentally prepared, and it's strictly 100% my fault. And you know, working the job I work with the hours I work, and I was not taking the time to train the way I needed to train. Now, I'm not blaming it on my job. I'm blaming it on me, because like I said, I didn't take the time. I didn't set that time aside. I did not allot the time for me to train, and it's my fault. I messed up. And I'm the reason why I lost two fights in a row. And shoot, we go back and watch the Sam Shoemaker film. I put my hands down at my waist and let that joker punch me right in the mouth. And you've never, other than that one time, you've never seen me drop up my hands and down at my waist like that. It's just a lack of preparation, and I was nervous and didn't realize what was going on. So,
like you mentioned, the Sam Shoemaker situation specifically, would that be more of a mindset whereby you'd want to, you know, get a Shoemaker rematch, or is it ultimately just like an individual, you're almost your own worst enemy, like learning curve, whereby like you're trying to outdo your last performance and kind of learn from it? Like, is it more that, you think?
Yes, yes, and yes. everything you just mentioned, yes. I am critiquing myself at every performance. My next performance needs to be better than my last performance every single fight. There was so much in my last fight against Rumsey. There was so much I saw that was just terrible. I did see a lot of good. I'm not blind to the good. I did see a lot of good, but there was a lot I saw that was terrible that needs to be fixed. Talking about that rematch, if it makes sense, if it makes money, I don't care. I'll do it. It won't end the same way, I promise you.
But you mentioned it kind of there, like just how it seems like there's that constant improvement and the growth between fights and stuff like that. And even just beyond a technique level, it seems like on a lifestyle level, just with like the diet and different things like that, like aesthetically, it looks like you've trimmed up and stuff like that. Like, is there certain like lifestyle changes you've made to kind of like help bolster the BKFC run at all? Or am I just seeing something that maybe is not there, kind of thing?
Now you're seeing, your eyes are not deceiving you. My I have a diet. I have a very strict diet that I follow. Whenever I first started fighting in, back in the Tough Man contest at the fairgrounds in Mobile, Alabama, I was 335 pounds. Now, I was a weightlifter at the time. For some reason, at 19, 20 years old, I decided I wanted to try to be a bodybuilder, and I was very well on my way to it. I had like 20 and a half inch arms. I mean, I was just a big old guy. I had like a war size 38 or 40 in the waist and was 335 pounds. You know, I mean, I was just a big old fellow. Well, I got on a diet whenever I started training for boxing, and I went from 335 down to 225 in about 10 months. And that was the most painful 10 months of my life. Because I had to take all this muscle that I had trained to turn itself into bulk, and I had to get rid of that muscle and turn it into stamina muscle. And that was some of the most painful stuff I've ever done to myself in my life. And I'm very glad I did it. It, you know, going from the bulk muscle that, you know, just its goal is to lift as much weight as it possibly can and fill it with blood and get a big pump. And take it from that to doing as many reps as you possibly can. And just as soon as you're about to pass out from doing reps, pick up the pace and do a little bit more. That's what I turned it into. And so that's, you know, my diet is what we've gotten back on to. We've gotten back towards training the way that I did whenever I first started fighting. You know, I train my cardio that way. My trainer, Jason Williams, lives over in Wales in the United Kingdom. Matter of fact, I just seen on my phone where he sent me a message, asked me, am I ready to train? But, so I train my boxing training with him. He does a lot of cardio and circuit drills with me as well. And, I've gotten to where I'm pushing myself even harder on my own cardio. And, my wife has gone back to preparing my diet food for me, and so now I'm back very strict on my diet, and it's you know, I'm still a big old boy. It ain't no two ways around that. I'm a big old fella, so it's gonna take a while to get me where I want to be, where I need to be. But I'm trying hard, and that's what everyone sees. That's what you're talking about. You see, is the results of what's to come.
Yeah, it seems like that whole just embracing the uncomfortable moments, like the grind that comes with, like the whole growing pains sort of thing, it seems like it extends to a lot of aspects of your fight life, like the different like hand strengthening techniques you utilize to just like getting the fingers beat up and stuff like that, just galvanizing the hands even further. Like it seems like you have a lot of those like Broughton's rules hand strengthening techniques that you use well.
Yeah, I do a little bit of it, man. I'm going to be honest with you, though. My hands are tough. You know, I did the pro boxing for, 9, 10 years, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't quite that long. But yeah, I did pro boxing for a few years. You know, you punch a bag every single day. You hit a speed bag every single day. And you do different things that make your hands tough. You know, you get, I go to work and turning wrenches and putting a nut on a bolt and, you know, turning bolts and stuff like that. And my hands go to cramping and hurting and arthritis already trying to set into them, and I ain't 36 years old. But yeah, it's all a result from all the quote unquote hand hardening that I've done, you know, throughout my career, you know, my life being stupid, never wearing gloves, and, you know, whenever I was playing as a kid or whatever, and at work, and so, yeah, it's, and there is a little bit that I used to do, you know, with the hand hardening stuff. I'd take a broken broomstick and beat on my hands with it to where they hurt for like a month, wait till they stop hurting, and go and beat on them again. And I did all that whenever I was younger, first getting into boxing.
And you've been talking about work a little bit, too. Like, are you still putting in work as a millwright? Like, are you still in, like, New Augusta and whatnot?
Oh, yes. Yes, I work for Georgia Pacific Paper Company. I work anywhere between 40 and 100 hours a week. You never know which week's going to be what hours.
Yeah.
I'm a millwright maintenance technician for them. That is my full-time job. That's where I have my health insurance through, and, you know, 401k and all the good stuff or whatever, you know. But, I do work a full-time job, and I don't foresee that being able to change anytime soon. I will be a full-time employee for a long time, it looks like. And I'm fine with that, man. It's a good way to make an honest living, you know, and a good living. And so, but yeah, that's what I do. I wake up every morning at 4:30 in the morning, and I get to work and clocked in by 6 o'clock. And I get to work and get done at 4:30, get back home by about 5:15, train with my coach from about 5:15, 5:30. On to about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Go inside, get a shower, eat dinner, talk with the wife and kids for a little bit, go to sleep, wake up and do it again.
I was gonna say, are the kids at an age where they kind of realize what you're doing? Like, is it one of those, like, my dad can beat up your dad sort of situations, or maybe not quite that age of comprehension yet?
My boy is he's 12. He's my stepson. He might as well be mine.
Oh yeah.
He's 12, and he understands everything fully on a level that scares me sometimes. And baby girl just turned 4, and she knows that, you know, daddy goes and wrestles in the ring with his friends. You know, she doesn't get to watch the fight live or whatever. We'll wait till I come back home.
Yeah.
And I tell her that me and my friend was wrestling and we got too rough. And we'll let her watch the video with me, so she's right there with me and sees I'm okay. And I show her what we did. She'll say, "Daddy, you got to tell him he can't do that no more." "Yes, okay, baby. Yes, ma'am. I'll do it."
Oh, that's very sweet. And I mean, at least from some past fights I've seen, like, you know, Britton, O'Bannon out there very much cheering and representing. And I love seeing those different videos that pop up. Is she able to attend this coming one here, or maybe not so much?
She will be. She will be there. I say she will be. With her, it's a week to week, sometimes a day to day thing on how she's feeling and how she's doing. And she's been doing okay. Been feeling pretty good here lately. And so it's pretty sure she's going to be able to make it unless something drastically changes.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear she's doing well, because, like, like you said, it seems like a week-to-week kind of, like, fluctuating, you have to be on top of it sort of thing. But even, like, the last time we were talking, like, there was the GoFundMe page with Britton's battle and stuff like that, and you seemed, like, very appreciative of just the fact that, like, so many people came out to help out and just, you know, how emotional and, I guess, humbling it was and stuff like that. Like, can you talk about that support that you've been able to get from different people and just the BKFC community and just how supportive people are and everything like that, just helping along with what I had to imagine was a hugely difficult situation for many?
Yeah, man, it's definitely a difficult situation. There's financial issues with it. You know, you're always having to keep up with everything financially so that we can keep her in there to the doctors that she needs to see to take care of her. But more than that, man, for me, honestly, the financial part of it, yeah, it's heavy for us sometimes. You know, we all got to make sacrifices and cutbacks and everything and not get to do exactly what we want to do or whatever. But you know, my wife's here, my wife's alive, and, you know, I'll make sacrifices every day of the week for that. And, you know, she's able to see her doctors, get her medicines and everything. And like I said, I'll sacrifice, you know, whatever I need to in order to make sure that we keep doing that. My the kids, you know, they do real well with it. They do very well with it. You know, we have certain little things that we'll get to go do to where, you know, she doesn't have to be up and on her feet a whole lot. And we've had to, you know, she's 31 years old, and because of nerve diseases and heart diseases and everything. If we know that we're going to be up for a long time somewhere, we've got a wheelchair for her, because if she stays on her feet for, you know, an hour or two, then her feet will go to swelling because of Raynaud's, which is one of the 13 diseases that she has. And, you know, her feet will go to swelling and cut off circulation to them. And so if she stays standing up, so we've got the wheelchair for her, you know. We all enjoy spending time. It's just, you know, it takes some adjusting, but we all, kids included, all do very well with it.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're a very, you know, passionate, hardworking family man, but also the faith in God and stuff like that, I imagine, helps in certain moments where things get tough there and all that. So yeah, you have a very positive attitude in a lot of different regards, man, and I think all of that and just how earnest you are really endears yourself to a lot of the BKFC fan base. Like, I think a lot of people who are fans of you just appreciate that, like how forthright and honest you are about all that.
I appreciate that, man. I'm thankful to my fans for that, you know, the people that enjoy watching me fight and like following me and stuff. I appreciate it. A lot of people, what I've noticed in life is a lot of people that I encounter, they want to try to make things sound worse than what they really are. And they want to try to make it sound like they have it worse than what they really do. And I try my best to be the opposite way. I try my best to make things sound better than what they are and make it sound like I have things better than what I do. And, you know, so I try to take a turd and put a dress on it, make it look good. You know what I mean? I really, I'm not saying I have things bad. That's not what I'm trying to sneak in the back door and say. That's not it at all. I do have a good life. I do enjoy my life. I wouldn't trade my wife and kids. The lifestyle, the way, I wouldn't trade it for nothing, man. I wouldn't. You know, I get it. There's a lot of people that wouldn't be able to handle what we handle on a daily basis. But you know what? There's people that have to handle something else on a daily basis that we wouldn't be able to handle. And so, you know, you just count your blessings. No matter what your blessings are, look at them. See life for what it is. See for the blessings that you do have. You know, like I said, yeah, we got it, you know, like this, or we got to deal with that or whatever. But there's other people that are dealing with a lot worse than what we're dealing with. We're happy, thankful, and know that we're blessed to have things as good as we do. And it makes the good moments that much better for us.
And I feel like obviously it's just the broader lifestyle kind of thing, but I feel like your positive mindset almost has some level of competitive benefit too, because like, with certain guys who are kind of just entering BKFC more so, it's almost like a make or break kind of thing. Like sometimes you'll see a guy get hit with like a real good bare knuckle shot, and then they're almost like, oh, okay. Like, it's almost like that freeze up kind of response. It's almost like the first fight is kind of like a make or break sort of thing. But I feel like your like embrace the unpleasantries, move beyond it kind of thing is like one of the better, at least mentality based kind of attributes that you probably bring to the ring. Like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think there is that kind of benefit, just the composure and everything that you have?
I'd be a liar if I said no. Yeah, definitely. You know what, man? So let's just look at the facts here. The facts are that on a certain Friday or Saturday night, on January the 29th, I will be standing inside a ring. It's got ropes around it, and it takes a little effort to climb in and out of that ring, and there'll be another guy over there wearing just shorts and shoes, and there'll be a referee in there, or zebra there wearing her stripes, you know, and either I'm going to punch this guy that's got his shirt off, or he's going to punch me, or heck, we might just punch on each other. And that's the goal of it. You know, that's the goal of it, is see who can punch who the most times, or who can make who not want to punch anymore, you know. And it's just a competition. It's the same as if me and you was going to go golfing against each other or playing cards against one another. It's just a competition. You know, if all of a sudden you happen to we're playing poker and you happen to throw out a full house, yeah, you won a round. But the game's not over with. I still got a chance to come back and beat you.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I pull a four of a kind. You know, but if I give up, I'm not gonna know if I get that fourth king on the river card. You know, so it's and that's what it is. That's exactly how it is for me. You know, yeah, I got punched. Okay, yeah, I'm bleeding. All right. You know, I can feel a gaping hole in my forehead there. I got it. But if I grab that cut and, oh, poor pitiful me, go down and, oh no, I'm hit. I don't want to fight no more. Look at this last fight. I had blood in my eye. I opened my eyes or I blinked. Whenever I blinked, blood fell off my right eyelid down into my right eye. It was red. It was like I was looking through a piece of cling wrap, you know, cellophane wrap that somebody colored over with a permanent red marker. Everything was red, like so dark red I couldn't see through the red to see what was going on. I could just see a dark red tint to everything. Man, I could have easily took a knee. Oh, no, I got blood in my eye, you know. No, not me. I take two of my fingers very indiscreetly and dig into my eye real hard, pull the blood out, and lo and behold, I'm good to go because I got the blood out of my eye. I just tilted my head forward a little bit more so when the blood fell off that eyebrow, it'd fall to the ground, not in my eye. Kept on fighting and won the fight. You know, it's everybody makes excuses. I don't care if anybody tells you otherwise, they are a liar. Everybody makes excuses. The difference is some people make an excuse to get out of things, and some people may make an excuse to stay into things. I tend to be the one that makes the excuse to stay in there.
Well, that's an incredibly poignant way to put it, and I really do appreciate that and appreciate your time as well. One of the last things I wanted to touch on, though, is just, I guess, the general thoughts on what you've seen from Alan Belcher as he's transitioned to not just being like a heavyweight competitor, but also he had the, you know, BKFC debut, had a pro boxing bout where he got that second round TKO in November there. Like, are you a guy that generally watches tape on your opponents as you're heading into it, or more so kind of just allocate that to the coaches and focus on your own individual prep? Like, I guess, what are the thoughts on Belcher as you're heading into this one?
I know his habits. I know what he does right. I know what he does wrong. I know his weaknesses. I know his strengths. I know his good habits. I know his bad habits. I've watched the film, the couple of little films that's out there. I've seen it. The forms, the cocks, the clicks. I've paid attention to all of it. I know it all by heart. The quote unquote, try to be sneaky little moves, and yeah, I know them. I got them. I seen them. I expect them. If they don't come, then that's fine too. I watch film on people. I break people down. I study their, like I said, their good habits and their bad habits. I want to know all of them. But so that whenever I get in there and I see things start to play out, I'm like, okay, he's going back just to the same way that he fought during this fight. Or, okay, that's what he did when he fought that fight. So this is what's coming. This is what he's working on. This is what he's trying to do. And I do watch it all. But I take it all with a grain of salt, too. Because if anybody would have watched my Mike Kyle fight, then they never would have expected what I did during the Zach Calmus fight. And if you'd have watched the Zach Calmus fight, you never would have expected what I did during the Lewis Rumsey fight. You know, I'm evolving, I'm changing, I'm constantly making corrections to get better. And I expect from my opponents, other fighters, to do the same thing. And so Like I said, I watch it, watch for the habits, watch for the little tinks and clicks and quirks and whatever, and pay attention to it all, so that if I see it in there, see that it's still there, see that those things are still evident, then I know what to look for, I know what's coming, I know what to do next, I know what he's fixing to do. And it just makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And just great getting to talk to you ahead of another fight, and just, yeah, being mindful of your schedule for the rest of the night. Is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, man?
Man, I'm just some big old country boy from the middle of nowhere. And if you'd have asked me at 17 years old, hey, man, you think you'll be fighting on pay-per-view television one day with the entire world seeing you and all these eyes on you and have this much popularity and blah, blah, the answer would have been no. I never would have thought it. Heck, if you'd have asked me at my first fight with BKFC 5 on the open the card on the Jason Artem Lobov first fight, if you'd have asked me then, that ain't going to happen for me. That ain't going to happen to me. That's just not in the cards for me. But here I am doing it. And so you never know what life's going to throw at you. Always be prepared for everything. You know, there's no telling when God's going to decide to bless you with something good. Just make sure that you've got yourself prepared and ready to be able to accept it.
It's been a great story to see unfurl, and the next chapter going to be written on January 29th at BKFC Fight Night Jackson, when Bobo Oban and Alan Belcher knuckle up and toe the line in what should be a very entertaining and intriguing heavyweight fight. And to reiterate, thanks for coming on the show again, man. Always fun getting to talk to you, and yeah, just best of luck with the rest of the prep for the fight, and have a good rest of your night too.
Thank you, sir. You have a blessed one.